Good morning. Once upon a time, there was a brick maker, and he made all kinds of bricks for different purposes. And one day he wanted to try and test out maybe some new building material. So he made bricks of different kinds. He made a brick out of ice. And he made another one out of dry ice, the same shape. Made another one out of water and sand. He noticed that there were kids on the beach that used to build these cool-looking sand castles. So he thought, why not make a brick out of sand? And he also made a brick out of clay from the earth. And so he shaped them all, and they were exactly the same size, the same dimensions. And he looked at them, and they were perfect, and he decided now that they were formed and in the right shape, it was time to take them to the kiln. And so he took them to the kiln, and it wound up being a disaster. The brick, of course, that was made out of ice melted and got everything all wet. The brick that was made out of dry ice just simply evaporated in a big flume of gas. But the brick made out of sand looked beautiful. Until he went to try and pick it up, and it just sort of disintegrated in his hands. But the brick that was made out of clay was strong, it was solid, and he decided that this would be the best kind of brick to use for building various structures. And so he made many more bricks just like that one, for bridges, for homes, for buildings, for walls, and any number of things. And many people came and lived within those structures and crossed the bridges and found them very useful. And so those of you that really have a mind to listen and to perceive, take note of this and consider it carefully. Surely that's not all right. If I had left and went out the door and said, I'm done, you probably would have wondered, what was the point of that? Okay. Why in the world did he just get up and tell some interesting or maybe perhaps not so interesting story? What was the point? Maybe you were thinking, man, what a poor excuse for a preacher. Some of you may think that every week. I don't know. But I wonder if there wasn't some of the same sort of reaction in some of what Jesus said. We're at a point in the book of Matthew now where Jesus begins to change his teaching style. He begins to major in parables. And normally when you think of a parable, you think of the purpose of a parable as being one of teaching, of making teaching more understandable, making it more memorable. And surely when Jesus began to teach in parables, that was his purpose, right? Well, the answer is yes and no, depending on who you were and the condition of your heart. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. And we're going to go ahead and start reading in chapter 13. And this is a long passage, so but we need to read it all together because it needs to be read all together. We're going to start with the first verse and go all the way down to the end of verse 23. All right? So that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, and he's done. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I truly say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is a man who hears a word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. All right, Jesus is now switching gears. When it comes to the crowds, they get everything in parables. Remember everything that's happened up to this point. Remember in the previous chapter, the Pharisees have rejected him. Not only did they reject him, they did everything they can to try and oppose and destroy his ministry. Saying things like, well, yeah, he does cast out demons. They couldn't deny that. But he does that by the power of Satan, by the power of Beelzebul. And remember in the previous chapter to that, Jesus has condemned cities such as Chorazin and Bethsaida, and cities in which he performed his signs and his miracles, yet did not repent. Okay, so they have been receiving the word, they have been seeing the signs, and they chose not to accept, and some of them chose to reject and to try and oppose him. And so now he switches gears, and they begin to get everything in parables. And I think the message we're going to see in the text that we read this morning is that if we are going to receive the blessing, the multiplying blessing from the word and the gospel of the kingdom of God, we need to respond to it appropriately. And in this we see several characteristics of an appropriate response. Number one, an appropriate response goes beyond mere hearing. Okay, it has to go beyond just hearing. Hearing all by itself doesn't do any good. So what's the problem? What's the pitfall? We need to hear, but it has to go beyond that. What's the pitfall to hearing? Well, Jesus said the seed that fell on the hard packed ground never took root. The birds came and had a feast on the seed, and nothing ever happened. It never took root. And Jesus says these are those who hear the word and yet do not respond. They don't understand it. Nothing happens. It's like throwing seed on the pavement outside, throwing seed on the sidewalk. Nothing is going to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is some animals will come by and have themselves a feast. There's no growth, no fruit. You know, James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word and not what? And not hearers only who delude themselves. Okay, so if all you ever do is hear and you think, hey, I've heard the word, and you think that's good and that's what God wants, then that's delusional. And you know, the Pharisees have been doing a lot of hearing, haven't they? They knew their Bible. They would quote it. There were some people that took the entire Torah, put it to music, and they could sing it all from memory. They could tell you what the middle word was in each book. They could tell you what the middle letter was in each book. And they spent their entire life studying it. And there were some things they did put into practice, but there are many things they didn't put into practice in their life either. And so what they were doing is hearing. Let me ask you a question. What part of the body do you hear with? I asked my son this morning, what part of the body do you hear with? First thing that comes to mind is what? You have two of them, right? Two ears. Have you ever been to the doctor's office and you notice sitting over here on the shelf, there is a model of the ear, and it's kind of cut away. You can see the diagram of all the different parts of the ear. Sound comes and it starts here with this, the earlobe, and it kind of focuses the sound down into that ear canal until the sound makes it to the eardrum and it vibrates, and you have these little pieces on the backside of it. It's called the hammer, the stirrups, and all that, until it gets into this little thing that looks like a seashell, and they call that the cochlea. And so the sound's got to go all the way that into the cochlea. And when that happens, you've heard, right? Or is there more that has to happen after that? Okay? It's got to make it to the brain, okay? So if all that happens, all that stuff moves, and your brain does nothing, then you've not really heard or understood anything. So we don't just hear with our ear, we hear with our brain. You gotta take it, you gotta process it, and you gotta understand it. And that is what true hearing is all about. And for some reason, the Pharisees shut off their brain. They didn't want to process what they were hearing. They didn't want to internalize it. Oh, I think they knew that this was important. They knew this was something big, but they didn't want to have anything to do with it. Their mind was already made up. They were not going to listen to a word. It's kind of like, you remember when Stephen was preaching in Acts chapter 7? And you remember the reaction of the people toward the end of the chapter as he was preaching, and everything he said was true. They didn't want to hear anymore. What did they do? They took their hands, put them over their ears. We're not listening to any more of this. They rushed on him and stoned him to death in order to silence what he was saying. They were not going to listen to any of that. And so, just hearing all by itself, it's a response has got to go far beyond just mere hearing. Now, if you know anyone like that today, listen, hear, yeah, maybe even nod a little bit and say, you know, that sounds interesting, but then nothing ever happens beyond that. Or maybe they say, I don't want anything to do with it. Maybe it sounds too politically incorrect. It sounds too backwards. It sounds too absolute. It's making too much of a demand, an unreasonable demand, and unreasonable expectations of me. And so, people might hear it, but it never takes root. And what little has been sown never took root, and it's been snatched away. an appropriate response has to go beyond hearing. And that brings us to our second point. The response has to go beyond merely receiving the word. Okay, you have to hear. Receiving is much better than hearing, but if all you do is receive the word, and maybe it does a little bit of something, it may not last. You remember the next two soils that Jesus was talking about? That some of the soil fell on this rocky ground, and the seed did sprout, right? Some roots actually did reach down into that shallow soil, and there was a little bit of a sprout that sprang up, but then the sun came out, dried it up, and all you have now is just a dead stem laying on the ground. And then there was that other type of soil that it actually did take root and actually did sprout up, but there were all these thorns. There were weeds. There were all kinds of other stuff in the ground that took over. And so you never really saw anything. You never saw anything become of that plant either. And Jesus explains what this means. In both cases, they received the word. In both cases, they responded to the word. But that response was short-lived. It was very superficial. Because in some cases it was persecution, affliction, difficulty that arose because of the response to the word. And them saying, oh, I don't want any of this. This is too hard. And so they back up and it dries up. Or other people that are choked out by what he calls the deceitfulness of wealth, the deceitfulness of riches. I'm more worried about my comfort. I'm more worried about myself and what I want and my desires than the things of God. And so it never goes anywhere beyond that. Have you known anyone like that before? Sometimes it's very disappointing, isn't it? Sometimes it's heartbreaking. I knew someone several years ago that became a Christian, and it looks like things were coming together in his life, but the lure of his former lifestyle called him back. He got mixed back up into drugs and a lot of the other things that he did in his former life, and his faith wound up drying up and blowing away. You know, one of the things when I participate in evangelistic campaigns with We Care Ministries, one of the things I always remind new Christians is that when you come up out of that water, Satan is hopping mad and he's going to do everything he can to try and get you back to where you were before. And so that soil has to go much deeper than that shallow soil. That soil has to, all of those weeds and thorns, they need to be pulled out and thrown away. What needed to happen? Sometimes people are tempted to think, well, you know, there's something wrong with the seed. If the seed didn't sprout, or more, maybe it sprouted a little bit and it didn't continue to grow, maybe there's something wrong with the seed. I can assure you there's nothing wrong with the seed. Some people want to modify it. Some people want to tweak it a little bit. Maybe it'll grow better if we change the seed. But you remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1? If anyone brings to you any other gospel than the one that we have already preached, let him be accursed. We don't change the seed. Because the problem is not the seed. The problem is the soil. And what needs to change is not the seed. What needs to change is the soil. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And if we're going to make something grow, if something is going to grow in the soil, sometimes there's maintenance. Sometimes there's work that needs to be done. If there's rocks in the soil, they need to be pulled up. They need to be dug out. And some of you I know have done that before. My wife tells me about going out and visiting her grandparents and going through the cotton fields with these big metal buckets, pulling all these rocks out of the ground and taking them away. That way the crop could grow in the ground. And sometimes I remember when I was growing up, kids would get summer jobs. Do you remember the day when farmers used to come out of the fields into town and they would load up a pickup full of kids and go out and pull weeds in their fields? That needed to happen in order for the crop to grow. So if something's not growing, the problem is not the seed. The problem is the soil. And if the soil is going to be fit for growing something, then it is going to take some work. Reminds me of what happens when you go through, you're flipping through the channels on TV, and every once in a while you come to a channel and you hear something, you hear language, but you don't understand what's going on, right? And because what they're speaking in, it sounds like they're speaking in Spanish. And sometimes it sounds really cool, right? You listen to the music, oh, that's very happy sounding music. or you listen to what they're saying, and you may watch just for a little bit, and maybe you can kind of pick up a little bit of what's going on there, just by the things they're doing, by their facial expressions, and maybe you can even pick up a word here or there. But you're never really truly going to understand until you do what? You can go get a translator to maybe translate for you, right? Or you can learn the language. And until you truly learn the language, you're never really going to understand. And you're never going to be rewarded with understanding. And it's the same way when it comes to God's Word. The disciples, how often, as they were listening to Jesus, did they not understand? That seemed to happen quite a bit, didn't it? Sometimes Jesus said, "You still don't understand? Well, here, let me explain it to you again." The only way they were going to gain that understanding is by asking questions, by doing the work, by pursuing the understanding. If their interest was only superficial, and they didn't ask the questions, they didn't pursue the understanding, it would have been just like that plant in that shallow soil, drying up and blowing away. And that brings us to our final point. Number three, a proper response involves a passionate pursuit. A proper response involves a passionate pursuit. It's the hunger that Jesus talks about. That hunger for the bread of life. That thirst for living water. We're talking about a passionate pursuit. Look at the last type of soil that Jesus talks about here. This is the soil that doesn't have the rocks, it doesn't have the thorns, it doesn't have the weeds, it has all the nutrients that it needs, and the seed takes root, and it produces all these different amounts of harvest. Different amounts, some more than others, but it all produced. And Jesus explains who this is. This is a man who not only hears a word, this is a man who not only receives a word, but this is a man who understands and begins to produce fruit in his life, responding to the word. I want you to listen to these words, just so we don't misunderstand and think that understanding has something to do just with what goes on up here. Listen to these words from the 119th Psalm in verse 34. The psalmist says, "Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart." Let me read that one more time. "Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart." Understanding is not limited to just an intellectual exercise. True understanding is connected with faithfulness and obedience. Give me understanding so that I can keep your word. Now, understanding, true understanding, is connected to the condition of the heart. And I brought a couple of items in the interest of following the manner that Jesus teaches. And these are items I think all of us are very familiar with. Everyone has seen this, right, before? And I just opened up the jar just to make sure that it's still soft, okay? And it's yellow. You can mold it into different shapes. It's useful. And I have another item that I'm sure most of us are very familiar with, okay? You know what that is? Because it still has a wrapper on it. It says butter. That's the real thing, not margarine with all that vegetable on it. This is the real stuff. This is butter made with cream, and it holds some similarities to this, right? They're both kind of yellow. Actually, butter's more white than it is yellow, isn't it? If it's real butter with nothing added to it, but both of them are soft. Both of them can be molded, and both of them are useful. But you know what? Both of these items are very different from each other. Okay, if you were to take these items right now, you could take this and set it down on the kitchen table. People love to use it for corn on the cob, right? You remember taking your corn on the cob and just smooshing it into the butter and rolling it around until it's just covered with butter. You can't do that right now. You know why? It's still cold. But if you were to take this and set it out, and you have the window open and the sun is shining on it, it's not very long before what happens. It melts. It gets really soft, and it melts. On the other hand, if you were to take this Play-Doh, and somebody forgot to put it back into the jar, and you left it sitting out on the table right next to the butter, in that same sunshine, what happens to the Play-Doh? It gets hard. And it gets to the point where you can't use it anymore. And that's the point that Jesus is making about the condition of the heart. See, the sunshine is the sunshine represents the parables that Jesus told. Depending on the condition of the heart depends on how you react to His teaching. The receptive heart becomes softer. Okay? And Jesus says, to those who have, more will be given and they will receive in abundance. The more you listen, the softer you get, the more blessing you get from the teaching of Christ. But then Jesus said, to those who do not have, even what they do have will be taken away. And that's the Play-Doh. The more you reject, the more you close your ears, the more you don't respond, the harder you become. And so the question is, what do I want my heart to be like? Do I want it to be like the butter and continue to receive God's blessing? You know, God said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, that He says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." If you seek me with all your heart, you will be rewarded. You will find me. Hebrews chapter 11 says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's the butter. The more we respond, the more we seek, the more we pursue, the more God blesses us. But on the other hand, if we don't respond, the harder we become. You know, we find a very similar thought in the first chapter of Romans. Those people, they knew God, they knew His ordinances, they understood His character, and yet they refused to acknowledge God over and over and over again. And what did God do? Like the gentleman He is, He let them be. They didn't want God. He says God gave them over to what they desired. He gave them over to their depravity. And they thought they were so wise, yet they had become fools because they had rejected the author of life. And the more they did that, the harder and harder they became. In fact, the harder you become, the stranger the Word of God begins to sound. The harder you become, the more offensive the Word of God begins to sound. And you never want to get yourself to that place. You know, Hebrews chapter 6, it says that for those who have once been enlightened and then have fallen away, I think this may be a hyperbole, but it says it's impossible to renew them again to faith. When this becomes completely hard and useless, how much work does it take to make it useful again? Can you moisten it again? It's impossible to renew it to faith. And so, the important point in all of this, okay, if you didn't hear anything else, listen to this. When you hear the Word of God, you never remain unchanged. Do you hear that? When you hear the Word of God, you never remain unchanged. You either are softened by responding to the Word of God appropriately, or you become hardened by rejecting the Word of God. So even this morning, as you listen, you're not going to leave here unchanged. And the question is, what am I going to be? Am I going to be like the butter, or am I going to be like the Play-Doh? In just a moment, we're going to go ahead and sing a song. And before we close, I want to leave a couple of words of encouragement for you before we close this morning. And the first word of encouragement is simply this. It's not impossible for an unfruitful heart to change. Sometimes it may seem that way. Sometimes it seems like when somebody rejects God over and over again, it's nothing is ever going to become of Him. Do you remember when Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven? And do you remember what the disciples asked? Well, then who can be saved? And what did Jesus say? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so even someone that is overcome by the deceitfulness of wealth and riches those thorns and those weeds in the garden of his heart can be pulled up, and with God, all things are possible. So don't ever give up hope. I am so thankful that our Lord and our Savior never gave up on us. It's not impossible. I knew a lady many years ago that people would have thought would never have ever become a Christian. She was an avowed atheist, and then later called herself an agnostic, and didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. She was a staunch feminist. I mean, everything about her said she would never become a Christian. And somebody got her attention. She played on a community baseball team. And guess what? There were several other Christian ladies from the church that played on that baseball team. Somebody got her attention, and she became interested and began asking questions. In fact, she even started coming to church with these ladies out of curiosity and continued to ask questions. Matter of fact, she asked so many questions it drove people nuts. But the more she asked questions and the more the brethren tried to respectfully take her down the road to finding the answer to those questions from Scripture, the more she asked, and she didn't stop asking. And these were kind of confrontational, but they were honest questions. And eventually she became a Christian and still continued to ask questions, and that was okay. Because she was pursuing understanding. And today, she is one of the strongest and most committed and devout Christian women that I know. In fact, she recently made a career change. She used to work for a company that sold knives and various things. And now she has made a career change. Now she's a school teacher. And she says, I feel like my calling is to reach out to people and I can make a difference in the life of these children. And so no one would have ever dreamed in her early life that she would have ever become a school children. So it's not impossible for an unfruitful heart to change. Okay, all things are possible with God. And the other encouragement is this. Remember that if someone doesn't respond, the problem is not the seed. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. If someone doesn't respond, the problem is in the soil. And sometimes people get discouraged. Sometimes they get frustrated. Sometimes they go through periods of doubt because nothing seems to be happening. Sometimes you feel like you're all alone. Nobody is responding. I have no kindred spirit. You remember Elijah felt the same way at one point. I'm the only one left. But the problem was not Elijah. The problem wasn't Elijah's message that had come from God. The problem was the hearts of the people. So be encouraged. Remember, the problem is not the seed. And don't ever be tempted to think that the answer is to change anything about the seed. You know, I'm convinced those of you that are here this morning, since you're here this morning, and I could tell by the looks on your faces, you've been listening, that you're not that packed ground by the wayside that the birds come and they snatch the seed away. And I think most of you that I see this morning are here regularly. So I'm convinced you're not that shallow soil that dries up and blows away. But you have remained. You're here to pursue understanding, to pursue a meaningful relationship with God, to be faithful to Him. I'm convinced that you are still in the process of producing fruit for Him. But if you're here this morning and you're visiting, then listen carefully. You've heard the Word. And the question is, how are you going to respond? See, Jesus came from heaven to earth to die on a cross because of the sins in your life. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus was buried in a grave and rose from the grave. He conquered death and He's now back at the right hand with the Father. And He's calling you to respond to Him and to accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord. And the question is, what are you going to do and how will you react this morning? Will you respond and continue to receive more blessings from God, the blessing of knowing Him?
or will you become harder and reject Him? And my prayer for you this morning is that you would respond to the gospel. And so if you need to respond this morning and you're ready to accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord, and you haven't done so this morning, then we're going to go ahead and sing a song this morning, and we'll invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing, and you'll have an opportunity to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ, and become a child of God. So won't you come as we stand and sing?